This is the Healthy Worship Team podcast, and I'm your host, Julie Engler. If you're a worship leader who's ready to get to the next level, whether it's to help your team thrive as your church grows, become a stronger leader yourself, or to add more creativity to what you do, you're in the right place. I've spent the last 20 years leading worship, and I want to share with you the best of what I've learned. I know you've got the talent. I know you've got the calling. Now let's talk about everything else. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Healthy Worship Team. I'm your host, Julie. I'm so excited to be here with you today. This is episode 11 of the podcast. Super excited about that. I have just been having so much fun digging into what I've learned over the last many years leading worship, but then also the last 7 years, really becoming the worship leader that has helped our church move into a new generation and a new season of leadership and impact. And I love putting what I've learned into words and into this podcast for you guys. I'm really enjoying it. In the last episode, I shared with you my findings of a survey that I did with lots of feedback from many worship leaders from all over the United States, talking about the top issues that they have leading worship teams. They were all so incredibly relatable, totally to be expected, absolutely normal. Like, I don't mean to belittle the problems. I mean to say, like, we know how you feel. You're not alone. These issues are real issues that we're all facing. And when I was preparing for the next few episodes, I've been thinking about, what do I need to do? Do I need to just write out my list of, like, how to make sure your rehearsal goes great, or how to help your team be prepared? And you know what? We're going to get to that. But before we do that, these first several episodes, I really, really want to lay the foundation for you guys of how to see true sustainable change. And it does not happen by just trying to change outcomes. It doesn't just happen by dealing with the fruit. We have to deal with the root of issues. And when I was talking about the problems, there was at one point when I said, I wonder if you guys can think about what I might say about these problems based on the episodes that I had done before. And the thing that I really want you guys to focus on, and we're just going to hang here for a while, in fact, I'll probably touch on it in almost every single episode, is that as a leader, you cannot expect your team to be or do anything more mature, more developed, or more in line with vision than you are. You are going to set that tone. You are the thing that is going to determine how your team responds and reacts. And so, before we go to things like how to make sure your team comes prepared to practice, or how to make sure that you have enough people on your team and never not feel like you never have enough, and to struggle with finding the right people, we have to lay the base, and the base starts with you. And so, in the next few episodes, we're going to talk about the unhealthy mindsets of a worship leader. And so today I want to talk about the mindset of resentment and powerlessness. We're just going to dive right into this. The unhealthy mindset that we can fall into is that there is nothing we can do to change our situation. When we look at things like, we look up at our senior leader and we say, I can't do anything about this. He doesn't want me, or he or she doesn't want me to succeed, or they don't understand what it's like to lead worship. They're asking me impossible things, or it feels like they don't even want me to be a leader. They want me to sing. They want me to do my thing. And then it feels like they don't even want me to, like, really step into all that I have, all that God has for me. Like, there's more out there. There's more I can do. And they just don't want me to reach that potential, or they don't want me and my team to reach that potential. And then the other part of it is the resentment that we have toward our team. There can be an unhealthy mindset that you look at your team and say, you're the problem. You, this dysfunctional person, this toxic teammate, which I don't, when I say these words, I don't necessarily mean that's true. I mean, that's how it feels sometimes, is that someone is, maybe their attitude or the way that they don't listen to you, or that they derail practice, or whatever it is, that we will struggle with teammates who don't meet our expectations, who you don't understand why they won't respond to your feedback. And it takes so much effort to have a conversation with them about something that you feel like if they were more in tune with you and their hearts were right, it wouldn't be this difficult to ask them to do something different than what they've been doing. That can turn unmet expectations from your, between you and your senior leader, or between you and your team, can turn into resentment. It can turn into bitterness toward the people that God's given you to be connected to. And it can also turn into frustration and resentment and hurt. And then what happens is that colors all of our interactions with them. We start to believe that they have motives that we start to place motives on them and say, they must not, like I said before with the senior leader, they must not want me to succeed. They must not want me to step into all these things. And then for the team members below you, you can start to assume motive and to say, they must hate me. They must think I'm stupid. They must think they can do this better than me. They must, whatever it is. Like, our minds, the enemy can use those frustrations and those unmet expectations to truly, like, twist our perspective toward the people that God's given us to steward. And so I wanted to just pull an example from the Bible of someone that I feel like always had a humble attitude toward the people around them, even in the middle of like really big dysfunction. Because the truth of the matter is, guys, most of you are probably struggling with some dysfunction. In fact, I mean, I guess I could say we all struggle with difficult relationships around us. It doesn't matter how healthy your church is, how healthy you are and your team. And that's, it's okay to acknowledge that there are some friction points between you and either team members or you and some leaders above you. That's just like normal. But also it's probably much more common than you even realize that some of you may be struggling with severe dysfunction. Some big unresolved conflict between you and the people above you or below you. That's not just you. That's very, very common. In my experience, getting to know other churches across the country and through my connections with people that I went to college with and just seeing more out there, it's difficult. Things are difficult. And when you leave things for a long time and you don't feel like you have the tools to deal with those conflicts or deal with those like unmet expectations, those things can really build up pretty big. So I just wanted to take a few minutes and I wanted to talk about David and how he handled his relationship with King Saul, and then how he handled his relationship as a leader. The thing about David is that he, even in situations, because you think about between him and Saul, King Saul, like David was called as a young man. He was anointed to be king as a young man, but he did not have control over his own timeline, and he did not have control over when he was going to actually be given the leadership role. He only had a few things in his control. He didn't have control of when he was going to step into that leadership, but this is what he did have control over. He had control over his attitude toward the work that he had to do. Like, he had control over his attitude and the way that he approached his work as a shepherd before he went to defeat Goliath. He could have resented that. He could have ignored it. He could have been like, oh, who cares about this? I'm supposed to be king. I don't have time for these sheep. To the point that when he went to go see, to bring food to his brothers at the front line, and they were like, what are you doing here? When Goliath came, they're like, what are you doing here? You're supposed to be watching the sheep. They thought they had him, like that he was like neglecting his job. He's like, nope, I took care of it. I'm taking care of that. I'm being obedient. And I'm here to take care of you. And then he was there, but his responsibilities were taken care of at home. He did not neglect his current responsibilities in order to move forward. He made sure that he took care of the things that he had. So when we know that we have more potential than what we're currently doing, there can be a temptation to ignore or belittle or devalue the job that you have in your hand right now. So what does that look like for us? That could look like worship leader, that maybe you're a volunteer leader and you are a song leader and you really want to be given more responsibility or you want to have more opportunity to step forward. Make sure that you're taking care of your responsibilities now. Make sure that the things that you have in your hand to do, you are doing those things to the best of your ability. In any situation, when you know that you've got something that's coming in the future, we do not get to neglect what we have right now in order to move into that. Taking care and stewarding what God's given you now is what will open the door for the next season. If you have a dream to see your team grow from one person in each position to two people in each position, or you want to see that grow into having a new campus or launching a new church or doing original songs, if you are not stewarding the responsibility that you have right now for the people that God's given you, how can he entrust you with more? He also had control over his own heart and his own character, and he protected that very, very strongly. Even when he had opportunity to grasp for power, like when Saul was in the cave, when he was sleeping, or when he saw him when he was in the cave on his own, David had opportunity and he did not take it. Why? Because he knew that it wasn't for him. That wasn't for him to take. He knew that if God had anointed him, then God would give him that authority in the right time. He protected his own heart and his own motives. And we have that opportunity as well. There, depending on what your world looks like, you will have opportunities that may come. And we all know the difference. We know the difference between grasping for something and allowing God to give us something. What does that look like? What does promotion look like? Let's say in church ministry, what does promotion look like? It does not look like you having to figure out how to make this happen, and it's a very delicate balance. When it is time for you to step into a new level of responsibility, a new level of anointing, a new level of leadership in your church, you will have the affirmation of the leaders around you. And even if you feel like they don't see it, God is the one who grants authority, not you. He will. I promise you, if you know that there is another level of leadership, another level of calling, another level of influence that God has for you that he's spoken, it will happen and you will not have to grab for it. You do not have to go catch it when somebody is at a weak point and you can grasp for that authority. It will happen in God's timing, and it will be affirmed by spiritual leaders, and it will be in the clear light of day, and it will be with great joy and with great community around you that you will get to step into that authority. Until that point, your job is to steward your own attitude, your own responsibilities, and your own heart and your own character. When you recognize, because we're talking about an unhealthy mindset, when you recognize resentment or like a victim mentality of saying like, it's not my fault, it's their fault that I can't do this or that or whatever. When you see that happening, I challenge you to use the word of God to correct your own thoughts. If you're recognizing that you have, if you're feeling resentful towards a leader, if there's somebody in your mind that you're like, if they would just listen, if they would just give me this, if they would just understand, if they would just change their ways, if they would just see what's going on. When you have those thoughts, those like really strong thoughts towards a leader that you feel that there's not an outlet for, a lot of times that can be the enemy using that negative mindset to keep you locked up. So I just want to encourage you. Like, I've experienced that before. I've experienced the tension of, I know I'm called to more, and the frustration and not feeling like I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's exactly how the enemy wants us to feel in order to ignore what God's given us right in our hands. So I just really want to challenge you. I want to strongly, strongly challenge you. fight against that mindset. And the way that you fight against it is you look at what you have in your hands and make sure that you're stewarding it well. Do not belittle or devalue your recurrent responsibilities. They are important, and they're important enough for you to stay right there until those are taken care of very well. If that is caring for the team that you have or stepping up your excellence, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. You probably have a lot of work to be doing right now. If your mind is mainly focused on what you want in the future, that means that the work in front of you is probably suffering. So I just want to encourage you in that. If you're struggling with that in your mind, you need to fight that unhealthy mindset. You need to get your eyes on your own work, on your own lane. Where am I right now? Who has God given me to lead? What has God given me to lead? Am I doing it to the best of my ability? Because if you are looking at your team and frustrated that they are not coming prepared, that they are not doing their best, you know what? What if they're fighting that same exact mindset? What if you've got musicians and singers on your team who, when you look at them, you're like, if they would just focus on what they're supposed to focus on, if they would just learn their parts, focus on vocal technique, focus on their leadership, I could promote them into more leadership. I could give them more creative freedom if they would just master the things that they have right now. See, it's easy to see when you look down at your team. It's easy to see what you know. If they would just be diligent with what they have right now, then you could give them more, right? Maybe that's what you need to be focusing on for yourself. That's why we're dealing with ourselves first, because you cannot see your team step forward. You cannot see your team develop and mature and grow until you are ready to take a look at your own life. And so I just want to encourage you in that. We're going to fight against that mentality, that resentful mentality towards our leaders, and we're going to make sure that we're checking our work and that we are truly being good stewards and that our hearts are fully engaged in the responsibilities that God has given us right now, so that when the time comes, we'll be ready to hand that off to the right person. Let's say you get promoted and you've been neglecting the work that you should have been doing, like training up your team, like helping set levels of excellence for what to expect in rehearsals, for how to follow your leader, and it's time, and you're like, yes, I get promoted to like go be a songwriter or go be a worship leader at another church or to be an associate pastor over the worship and tech arts, and you hand off this team to another leader and they're in total disarray and there's nobody that's being developed and coming up through the system that's ready for the next generation, and there's no excellence and there's no like cohesiveness, like that's really sad to think about, that you would hand off something that hasn't been stewarded well so that you can move on to something better. That's not evidence of a healthy leader. Sorry. Okay. The other part is the mindset toward your team. Okay. So we talked about David towards King Saul, that he had control over his attitude, his responsibilities, and his own heart and character. And then when it came to himself, just before we look down, when it came to himself, we know he had that issue with Bathsheba? Did I make that up? Bathsheba, right? Yeah. Uriah and Bathsheba. Wow, okay, I should have prepped for that beforehand. He sinned, he put Uriah on the front lines and had him killed so that he could be with Bathsheba and marry her and all of those things. But one thing that he did really well is that when he got confronted with his sin, he very, very quickly owned it. And Psalm 52 is one of the most beautiful psalms. I believe it's 52, where he talks about a broken spirit and a contrite heart. He owned his own sin. Now, when we talk about his people underneath him, I want to talk about his son Absalom. So this is like David's life is so incredible. And I'm sure as worship leaders, you guys have spent a lot of time studying it, but I just want to remind you, Absalom was his son. Absalom was representative of part of the next generation. And Absalom was absolutely out of control. He decided that he wanted to have control of the kingdom. He started, he went to the city gates and he started drawing people away from the king and saying, no, 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 come over here. Let me give you advice. Started gathering followers, started creating his own little momentum to try to take the throne. Now, in really sadly dysfunctional church systems, I've heard of this type of thing happening, that dysfunction can be so bad. Communication can be so bad. Understanding of expectations and authority can be so bad that there are times where people will say, I'm just going to go ahead and kind of create my own little thing over here. And I'm just going to get a bunch of people to agree with me. And eventually we're just going to take over. And that's how that's going to work. That is like so, so, so toxic and so dysfunctional. That is not how God intended to hand off authority. If you have ever thought that that is a way to actually make something happen and it have good, peaceable, honorable, godly fruit, just go read the story of Absalom and look at the patterns of what it looks like to usurp authority and to try to take authority instead of to allow God to hand it to you, and take a lesson from that. David was the king. Absalom was not supposed to be the king, and he tried to take authority. Now, David had to, he had to deal with it. He had to get people, eventually, once Absalom really made a play for the throne, David had to like get some of his family to safety, and they had to fight against him. And so even in that situation, you feel like David's really justified. Like, he's justified against Saul to like he's anointed to be king, and Saul is like lost his right to the throne because of his disobedience to the Lord. And you're like, David, just go get him. Just like, go kill him. Just do it. And then you look at his relationship with him and Absalom and you're like, just knock him out. Like, this is a bad kid. You know, in the story, it's so easy to read it just kind of one layer and to say, you know, Absalom's bad, David's good. Kill that son of a gun. We don't want to hear him anymore. He's a bad guy. And the truth of the matter is that David still had the right attitude. He did not hold resentment toward his son. At the end, when Absalom died, he was truly heartbroken. It said that the king was shaken. He went up to the room over the gateway and wept. And as he went, he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, if only I had died instead of you. Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." And I just think about the way that David humanized even his most rebellious, ungodly son, one of his ungodly sons. He never looked at him and said, "You're the reason why I can't have the life that I want to have. You're the problem and I'm going to eliminate you." And I want to remind you as a worship leader, I want to strongly, strongly challenge you. Do not ever, ever, ever allow your heart to be so hardened towards someone that you're leading that you're willing to throw them onto the altar and just say, I want you out of here. You're worth nothing to me. Like, these are people, and these, even in their most unhealthy forms, even in their most unhealthy times, whether they're in the wrong, they have a wrong attitude, whether they're truly trying to make things difficult for you, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean that we can allow things to just happen without any reciprocation. Like, David had to deal with Absalom. He had to stop him from taking over the throne, but he never lost his connection to the humanity of Absalom, to the relationship that he was his son. He said it multiple times, "Oh, my son, Absalom, my son, Absalom." And he says it again later, "Oh, Absalom, my son, my son." We can never, ever, ever lose our connection, that no matter how horribly some people can act, and it, some of it feels horrible and some of it really is horrible, but they are real people who God loves and God has given us to steward. So I just want to encourage you in that. This unhealthy mindset of resentment and powerlessness, use the life of David to see what a truly humble leader looked like. Not a perfect leader, a very messy leader. Some of the stuff he had to deal with was because of
of decisions or a lack of ability to confront and deal with things became bigger issues like Absalom. But in your leadership, we have to fight against it. We must. This is something that the enemy, this is a weak spot in our own flesh that the enemy will use in order to make you ineffective as a worship leader. It will keep you from being able to lay the foundation for a healthy worship team. So here's what we're looking for. We're looking for excuses like, if my senior leader would only, if he would just or she would just listen to me, if she would just give me this, then we would be okay. Or looking at your team and saying, this person is the cause. This person took these things away. This person needs to get out of the way. This person just needs to go away. This is the cause of all my problems. If this person was gone, we'd be able to do what we need to do. We have to deal with that unhealthy mindset and dehumanizing the people that God has given us to serve and to lead, because the answer will never come from cutting those people out. It doesn't mean that there won't be some changes in relationships or things won't be adjusted. What I'm talking about is our mindset toward it. If we look at people as problems to eliminate instead of the way that God is going to make us more like Christ, the way that He's going to bring redemption and restoration, we have to be able to see that in order to see what God has next. So that's what I've got for you today. You guys are amazing. I love you so much. If you are enjoying this podcast, I would love it if you would like it. Leave me a review. Follow me on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, any of the other ones. Leave me a review. That would be amazing. And then also, if you have questions, you want me to cover something specific, you want to tell me something that stuck out to you, I would love for you to do that. My email address is Julie. Nope, that's not right. My email address is thehealthyworshipteam@gmail.com. I'll see you guys next time.